Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, good Tuesday afternoon. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. SJS here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Tom Deanhart will join us from the Big Ten Network and Sporting News to talk about all things Big Ten, the national scene, last night's Notre Dame-Alabama game, and what's upcoming in Big Ten basketball. Tom will join us at 3:35 today. Also, coming up tomorrow, Dave Revson for the Big Ten Network. On Friday, Greg Cosell from the NFL Network is going to join us to break down the playoff weekend. Very few people watch more tape than Greg Cosell, other than maybe Ron Jaworski, maybe Mike Mayock. And by the way, yes, we're working on getting Mike Mayock on the show as well. But Greg Cosell will be our guest on Friday. Next week, we'll have Tim Brando on, Tim Abe. And in 2 weeks, Patrick McEnroe from the Australian Open. 3 weeks, it'll be Jim Delaney on the show. But Tom Deanhart is in the hot seat today. We'll talk with him just after the news at the bottom of the hour. So we have a big lineup coming up. Penn State, of course, played Indiana basketball last night. Notre Dame, Alabama, the championship game last night. We'll break down both of those for you here coming up. Coming up on Thursday, the Nittany Lions will be swing back into action against Northwestern at the Jordan Center. That'll be at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. And then Saturday, it'll be Bucknell taking on Army. And then Sunday, the Nittany Lions will play at Purdue. There's a lot going on and a lot to talk about on today's show, including Bill O'Brien's press conference from yesterday. But before we get to any of that, here's Above the Noise with Dan Patrick.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Why choose Evenlink? Here's why. Even faster access, even better customer service, and even lower prices. Switch from expensive cable to Evenlink's TV, phone, and internet service. Get high-speed internet, all digital TV, plus your local channels with free high def. Add unlimited phone service, plus keep your same number. Packages starting from $75 per month. All three from $75 per month total, plus tax. Why pay more? It's the same TV stations, the same web pages, and the same phone service, but from Evenlink. For a lot less money. You could save $1,000 per year when you switch. Don't wait. Start saving today. No phone line in the house? Don't worry. Evenlink has the technology to bring you DSL only to the home. Call today and Evenlink will waive the $35 installation fee too. That's right. Free installation. A friendly, helpful, and local company for over 15 years. Evenlink. Even faster access. Even better customer service. Even lower prices. Call Evenlink at 988-1800. That's 988-1800 for Evenlink.
3, 2, 1, Happy New Year's!
Christopher, walking around Sleep World, what's a big movie star doing here at my New Year's party?
I'm looking for a New Year's kiss. My wife, Deborah, had one too many champagnes and is passed out in the cold room.
So, Christopher, did you make any New Year's resolutions?
Wow. You must be psychic. I was just about to tell you that I made a resolution to buy a new Beautyrest Comfortpedic at Sleep World, where they have the brand new lineup just in time for the new year. I will be living life fully charged.
But doesn't memory foam make you hot at night?
Au contraire. The Comfortpedic has the latest in air-cooled technology, so you'll sleep cooler at night. And Sleep World has the area's lowest prices by law. Plus, they have free financing up to one full year.
Wow. A Beautyrest Comfortpedic with guaranteed lowest prices and one-year interest-free financing? I'm off to Sleep World.
Whoa! You just blew my mind!
Sleep World, Route 11 and 15, Seaton's Grove, next to Lowe's.
So the holidays are over, and maybe you are even starting to think about updating that kitchen. Call the professionals at Dale Wolf Custom Kitchens and Baths, serving the Susquehanna Valley since 1975.
Whether it's cabinets or countertops, we know our stuff. Choose someone who has the how-to and know-how. We'll show you why we're different.
Always free estimates. Always personalized service. Dale Wolf Custom Kitchens and Baths.
Visit our Herndon showroom on Route 225, a quarter mile past the Lime Mountain High School, or on the web at DaleWolfKitchens.com.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence with WKOK's On the Mark program. Tomorrow morning, we'll finish our gun control conversation, and we'll have open phones. It's on the Mark, 8:30 to 10 a.m. on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Notre Dame and Alabama could play 10 times. They could play in South Bend, Tuscaloosa, Miami, or on the grounds of the Vatican. And Alabama would win all 10 times. All 10. That, in fact, if you give me a final ballot, my Penn State, by the way, finished 27th in the final ballot, AP ballot. I would have voted Alabama number one, Oregon number two, Texas A&M number three, Georgia number four, Ohio State five, Stanford six, and Notre Dame seven.
That sounds about right. A friend of mine and I were talking about that last night during the game. I said, how do you put Notre Dame above Texas A&M right now?
You can't. Bang, you can't.
I mean, I realize A&M is 11-2 and have two losses, but still.
Doesn't matter. A&M walked into Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama at Alabama. This is a different A&M football team than the one we saw in September. They were getting used to Kevin Sumlin's system. Texas A&M would beat Notre Dame probably 8 out of 10 times. Notre Dame is a team that if you really watch them closely this year, you saw a football team that got away with the razor's edge a lot during the course of the year, but you also saw a team where teams consistently moved the ball between the 20s. Every game, between the 20s, Notre Dame gave up a lot of yardage. The difference in the Notre Dame defense is that Notre Dame did a great job this year in the red zone defensively. Their red zone defense this year was outstanding. Last night, it was crushed like a grape. And as I mentioned many times, I think Manti Te'o is a really, really good linebacker, but there are other linebackers I would pick before him. Jones from Georgia being one, Maudie from Penn State another. And I mentioned repeatedly C.J. Mosley of Alabama. I hope you had a chance to watch last night's game. Mosley's a better football player. Better in coverage, better athletically.
Worst display of tackling I have ever seen in a major college football game.
No, I'm not even that. You know, they just outmanned. And that's one of the reasons the tackling wasn't that great. Just flat out outmanned.
Well, no, I don't mean to take anything away from what Alabama did, but Notre Dame just, there was no wrapping at all.
Alabama's a better football team. You can't wrap what you can't get to. Okay? The reason you're not wrapping is that you're reaching. You're reaching because athletically they're superior. All right? Athletically they are superior.
Your opinion, Ohio State matching up with either of the top two teams that are ahead of them, if that would have happened here this particular year. Ohio State finishes third in the AP poll.
Yeah, Alabama would have, in the same scenario, would have beaten them last night and would have done it handily, and Oregon would have beaten them handily.
I think they could have beaten Notre Dame, though.
Oh, no, Ohio State's better football team than Notre Dame.
There is no way I thought that game was going to be that much of a blowout. I mean, I thought Alabama had a shot to win it, but I thought it was going to be a very, very tight game. Alabama's offensive line manhandled Notre Dame's defense, the entire defense. Their offensive line just manhandled them.
That's why you asked about Nick and Barrett Jones yesterday. I went, I kind of blew that off. Now you know why I blew it off.
Well, I still think Nix is a tough guy to block. I mean, he's got a nice little step there, but I thought Jones, even if he wasn't 100% healthy, looked really good handling him.
Here we go. To give you an idea of what we're doing here the next 3 days. First of all, actually four. Tom Dienhart will join us at 3:35 today from Big Ten Network. Tony Knopp will join us on the ending of the NHL lockout tomorrow. We had Tony on before. And also John Marks from Philadelphia will join us to talk about the Eagles search. On Thursday, Neil Riddell of the Altoona Mirror and Adam Amin from ESPN to talk about the NFL. On Friday, Greg Cosell from NFL Films, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We also have Guy Cipriano from the Center Daily Times. That's all we have. We're sorry, and we apologize to you. I know you're writing right now, aren't you?
I am. I'm trying to write everything down.
That's okay. That's why they created breaks.
You go through it so fast, I can't write it down. My shorthand isn't what it used to be.
Okay. Here we go again. Tom Dienhart, Big Ten Network today, 3:35.
I got that one.
Tony Knopp, K-N-O-P-P, on the ending of the NHL lockout.
Right.
Okay, they start playing next week. John Marks, afternoon host on 97.5, the Fanatic in Philadelphia, is going to join us. That's tomorrow. Thursday, Neil Riddell, R-U-D-E-L, from the Altoona Mirror, and Adam Amin from ESPN will join us. Friday, Greg Cosell, NFL Films. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Guy Cipriano, Center Daily Times. Is there anything else you need?
No, I think I'm good now. Thanks.
Good. In the end, your concerns are my concerns.
That's all that matters. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So, that gets everybody up to date on what we're doing to round out the rest of the week. And you can check all this out online on our website, which is ready, waiting, and available for you.
That's right. You'll find it at stevejonesshow.com. Did you find, see one of the most popular questions? who am I asking? What am I thinking? One of the most popular questions on Twitter last night, right before halftime, was, when does the mercy rule come into effect for college football?
Well,
of course, we know there's a mercy rule in high school, but at one point, there would have been a mercy rule come into effect in college football with the way that game was going.
That was ugly last night. I glanced back during the Penn State Indiana game, and I saw Lacey score, and I looked. I said, "Game over."
You didn't even get a chance to watch the part of the game that might have been slightly interesting, and that was the first couple of series. After that, it was not interesting at all.
Game was over.
Friend of mine in the fourth quarter had the best text, though, of anybody I was talking with last night or texting with. I was talking to him about how the game was going. He goes, "I don't know. I changed it over. I'm watching The Rock. He's more interesting right now on USA.
There you go. We always love The Rock. Rock is really cool.
Yeah. I mean, ESPN went from one of the biggest cable audiences of all time, potentially, to the biggest tune-out of all time. Not that it's their fault, but... And by the way, I'd love to hear from fans on the Lenape Solar, Hilsch's General Store hotline. What is the situation with Brent Musburger last night?
You're talking about what he said about his girlfriend?
Everything. I mean, Brent was not on his game last night.
That's okay. Neither was Notre Dame.
I mean, there were some comments in there. I thought, wow. That's harsh.
Yeah, it's harsh.
And then Herb Street sits there after the girlfriend comment. Herb Street was like, he's like, I'm not even touching that one.
He's like, can't. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Can't do anything about it. I mean, I can tell you right now, there's some producer in Herb Street's ears like, say something, do something.
Anything. I don't care what it is.
Anything. Juggle. Do whatever. It was not good.
But I will say one thing. When you know it's a bad national championship game, when the best thing you can talk about is the announcers.
I guess now I understand what this Catherine Webb is blowing up on Twitter here. Is that the deal?
Of course. Yeah. Was it, if I remember correctly, a former Miss Alabama?
Yeah. I guess she's a former Miss Alabama, right? She's an Auburn graduate, right?
Yeah,
right.
Auburn
she
graduate.
She goes to Auburn or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, Auburn. Either she goes to Auburn or Auburn graduate. I do remember that. Or talking about that.
Wow. And I guess she's the big topic today.
Well, it was quite popular last night.
Really?
It was quite popular last night. As a matter of fact, she gained 40,000 Twitter followers for because of it. So. Catherine does have some thank you, I guess, to Brent Musburger for that.
Do you know how many Twitter followers Tom Brady has?
I have no idea. I'm surprised that you know.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
Okay. None.
Because he's not on Twitter?
Exactly.
Well, that's okay. But that's okay. He's an NFL player. Not every NFL player should be on Twitter.
Want to know why?
Because he's not allowed to be.
He's too busy working.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe he wasn't allowed to be.
Well, I wouldn't allow my players on Twitter.
No. Here it is. I have to find you. Quarterbacks get all the good-looking women. What a beautiful woman! And Herb Street's comment: "Wow." And Musburger chimes back in with, "Whoa." AJ's doing, and then Herb Street comes back with AJ's doing some things right down in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
That was listen, in a game that had very few moments, that was at least something. If you're a youngster in Alabama getting started, getting the football starting out there, throw it around the backyard with some pop, Musburger said.
Oh, boy. Tom Dienhart to make sense of life at 3:35. Following the news here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
4:06 today, Brent Musburger. And what he said at last night's game about whatever her name is.
Catherine Webb.
No surprise to this veteran campaigner that you have it already committed to memory.
I mean, he was right. Just kind of a little creepy in the same way.
Yeah. Okay. You all set down in the lineup for the rest of the week?
I'm good to go.
Yeah.
Are you?
Am I?
Yeah, are you set for the lineup?
I'm the one that put it together, I suppose so, yes.
All right.
This show. All right.
Not much, but.
Rainbow 9, Filcher's General Store Outline to Tom Dienhart from BTN and Sporting News. Tommy, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, I appreciate it, Steve. How much snow do you guys have on the ground there?
Got about a foot, Tom.
A foot?
About a foot right now.
Man, well, like I said, I guess it's that time of year. And, you know, I was talking to Purdue before I came on. It just seems like There's always something going on there, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you guys on your toes.
Yeah, you do have to stay on your toes here. I want to talk just briefly about last night's game, first of all. Is it my imagination, but is 42-14 not exactly accurate of what we saw last night, that it was even wider than that?
It probably was wider than that, but you have to remember who you were playing. I mean, I do think Indiana is the best team in the Big Ten. I know Michigan's ranked higher right now, but, you know, again, like I said, to compare yourself to Indiana, you know, nobody's going to come away feeling very good. And, again, that speaks for a lot of teams, not just Penn State. So, again, Cody Zeller, Yogi Ferrell, I mean, Jordy Hall, Victor Oladipo, on and on it goes. That's a loaded Indiana team.
It's loaded without question. They also are a little bit more athletic, I think, than people realize. Zeller's athleticism and what he can do in his court vision, what has that done to the other four guys on the floor, Tom?
Yeah, that's a good point. There may not be a more athletic big man in college basketball. And just their ability to get out on the break, in transition, and run, I think. Having Zeller, you saw it last night in one instance. I think he finished the fast break with a slam dunk, running like a guard. So it just, again, makes them that much more deadly in transition. You know, off a missed shot, they can get up the court, get down the court, and score. And I'll tell you what, Yogi Ferrell, the freshman guard, I think that's a guy that's really added even another dimension to this offense, made it that much quicker, and really gives them a second guy who can get their own shot in addition to Victor Oladipo.
On top of that, the depth that Tom has right now, he can go to his bench and change the tone of the game. For Indiana, what does that do when they face opponents that they can change the tone of a game with their bench?
It's big. It's a deep bench, and it's a bench with a lot of variety. There's size on that bench. They got the newcomer in Peter Jerkin, a big 6'11", 7-foot kid they can bring in off the bench. They've got some other skilled guys like Will Sheed that can bring off the bench. So they can really play a variety of different styles. They can run with you if they want, or they can play in the half-court set to run a little bit of offense and try to find the shot. So a lot of options, a lot of possibilities for Tom Crean.
Well, I want for Penn State, how much credit do you give to Patrick Chambers, the fact that from April 1st to November 24th, he had picked out a style to play because he was going to have Tim Frazier, and then November 26th had to change and retool everything, and is 6-4 since that point. How much credit do you give to Patrick and his staff for what they've been able to do with the great odds they've had?
You give them a lot. I mean, you want to talk about a monkey wrench thrown into your works. I mean, this is why you're a coach, though, I think. This is where you really earn your money, when you have to adjust on the fly, so to speak. When you lose your star player, like you talked about, Stevie, you got to adjust your whole philosophy offensively and how you're going to produce points and win games. So this is when you earn your money, and this is when you show your true stripes as a coach. And I think we're seeing that displayed right now in State College PA. For him to keep this team as competitive as it's been up to this point has been impressive. Now, obviously, the win is going to become a lot more difficult to get. But, again, to get them to this point with this record, I think it's been very impressive.
Yeah, no question about it. They have Northwestern here. That will be on Thursday night. Northwestern's had to adjust, Tom, with Drew Crawford out. The adjustment Bill Carmody's had to make without Drew.
You know what? Sort of like Frazier. I mean, they're different players. Frazier's a guard. You know, Crawford's a guy who plays on the wing. Still, it's the best player for each team. But Northwestern does have more, I think, legitimate offensive options. They still have a very good lead guard, Dave Sobolewski. So, again, they weren't impacted, I don't think, quite as much as Penn State has been with the loss of Frazier, just because they had a little bit more depth of talent, especially on the offensive end. And plus, Carmody has been there, 12 or 13 years. He's really been able to ensconce, you know, his philosophy there, especially defensively. So, again, it's Dave Sobolewski and Reggie Hearn, the former walk-on before Wayne, has really stepped his game up as well and provided the Wildcats with a nice offensive option.
Yeah, Hearn has actually been a great find for them as a walk-on. Been a little bumped up lately, but we'll see how he plays on Thursday night. Michigan. Penn State, now, I have not seen them in person yet, but when I've watched them on television, the one thing, the difference I see between Indiana and Michigan, it looks to me like Michigan's a really, really good defensive basketball team. What do you How accurate is that observation?
I think it's accurate. I don't think they're overly physical, but I do think they're good on the defensive end. Like Indiana, I think they can get you in transition. I mean, not many guards better than Trey Burke. And you know what? There may not be any college basketball player in the country better than Trey Burke. So, again, you have him as well, who's an experienced difference maker, running the whole shebang there. And then let me ask you this. Is there a better collection of freshmen in the Big Ten, if not the country, than what Michigan's got this year?
No.
With Glenn Robinson III and the kid from Canada shooting all the three-pointers. So, again, a lot of contributions from young players as well. And Mitch McGarry, the big 6'9", post player, wing player, who can run the court like a guard, too. So they've got a lot of options in addition to the defense you talked about. So many different ways to score as well.
Tom, John Beilein, when he went to Michigan, instilled the style, at least tried to, that he was using at West Virginia previously to that. And he had some square pegs he was trying to fit into round holes. With patience, he's been able to recruit players. Now that you see players that he's recruited that now fit that are round going into the round holes, what are you seeing in terms of the beauty of Michigan basketball?
It's fun. I mean, anybody who's seen this team live or on television can see the real explosive potential that it has. I mean, just the Iowa game the other night as an example. Iowa actually had a lead about midway through the first half. We saw Michigan pull away. It's a fun brand of basketball. It's a brand of basketball that features a lot of get up and get going and shoot the ball. So it's a desirable scheme and a desirable system for players to want to play in. And like you said, I think we're finally seeing the full evolution of the John Beilein system manifest itself at Michigan at this point. And again, 15-0, the best start since 1985-86 when they went 16-0. With Roy Tarpley and company, number two in the country, maybe the National Player of the Year, and obviously not just a legit Final Four team, but maybe a legit national championship team.
Right, exactly. On New Year's Eve, Minnesota played Michigan State, and my broadcast partner, Dick Girardi, calls me up, and he says, these are the fourth and fifth best teams in the conference. They were going up and down the floor. Was that game a testament to the true depth, the quality of depth in the Big Ten?
I think so, and Steve, let me say this. I think there's three top teams, Indiana, Michigan, and Minnesota. And then I think you take a step down to Michigan State, then Ohio State and Illinois. I think those six teams are legit top 25 caliber type of squads.
Right.
And then Wisconsin's going to be one of those teams. I think it's going to get better and better. You know, like Penn State and Northwestern, they lost arguably their best player in their point guard, Josh Gasser. So, again, they'll get better and better, too. So there's six legit top 25 teams. Wisconsin, the seventh fringe kind of a team. And Purdue's going to be deadly and difficult to beat at home. Again, it begins with the top three. You talked about Minnesota. I want to see how good this team really is. Everybody's sort of fallen in love with the Gophers. It's a fun story, the kind of new kid on the block, the flavor of the month. We're going to find out how good this team is this week. Starting tomorrow at Illinois, and then over the weekend, they go to Indiana. So, I think the Gophers have to come away with the split to really, be able to hold their heads. You say, again, the teams like Michigan and the teams like Indiana.
And, again, for Minnesota, over the years, who's coached them? It's always been when they've gone on the road, no matter the quality of the squad, that's where they've run into a roadblock. That's why when you talk about them going to Bloomington, for example, it'll be interesting to see how they compete.
Remember, they won there last year. It was the only loss Indiana had at home. And you're right. And you're really, in the end, that's what every year separates the great teams from the good teams, is who can win on the road. And I've asked a lot of people what type of record they think it's going to take to win the Big Ten this year. I think you got to go unbeaten at home. Without a doubt. And I think at the very least, you got to go 6-3 or 5-4 on the road. I think 14-4, 15-3 will at least get you a share of this thing, and probably 14-4. So again, you got to go one beaten at home, go 5-4 on the road. And again, these are two big ones for Minnesota. They got to get one of these two.
Yeah,
you know what? And if they get beat, they can't get blown out.
Right, exactly. And last year, Minnesota worked its way through the NIT, got to the championship game where they lost to Stanford. Rodney Williams really came of age last year along with Hollins in that run. The addition of Mbakwe, getting him back into the mix, what has that meant to what Minnesota's done so far?
Oh, he's a physical, tough, low post presence that really complements the guard play of the Hollinses. And again, you talked about Rodney Williams running the floor, being high flyer, rebounder, and dunk guy. But again, Mbakwe is sort of the glue guy who could do a little bit of everything. But more than anything, he's such a force on the glass, especially the offensive glass. Just a strong, muscular kid with a relentless work ethic. They give Minnesota that little extra edge the teams are going to need when they're going in these tough environments on the road.
Now, you talked about environments on the road. Illinois got off to the great start out of Maui, did well early. Ohio State goes into Champaign, and Illinois took them out, Tom. I mean, they took them out.
Those are two teams that scare me to death, Illinois and Ohio State. They're going to be the ultimate box of chocolate teams where you just don't know what you're going to get game in and game out. I mean, one team, Illinois, it's live and die by the three, and as we all know, you're going to have nights when you're not shooting the ball well, and you're going to look awfully ugly. They can't rebound very well. They don't have much interior presence offensively. So, again, they've got some big chinks in their armor. But, again, if they're shooting well, they could probably beat anybody in the Big Ten. Ohio State, I think, may be the most overrated team in the conference. Honestly, the loss of Sullinger has been more profound than people thought. There's nobody to respect on the inside of Ohio State when they get the ball on offense. We've seen Aaron Kraft's game suffer because of it.
Right.
And, you know, Deshaun Thomas, God bless him, he's probably an All-American, but he can only do so much. They need complimentary scores, and they're not getting enough consistent contributions, guys like Lenzel Smith and Sam Thompson in particular.
In fact, Lenzel Smith benefited tremendously last year from Sullinger's presence. Sullinger could kick that ball out to him in the corner, and he could hit the three. Doesn't have that luxury anymore, and that goes back. I'm in complete agreement with you about Ohio State.
You know, this too, William Buford's gone as well.
Yeah, and that's it. You're talking about one of the top five scorers in the history of that program, William Buford.
Yeah, so those are just a couple big losses. And, again, this Ohio State team, it's good, but it's nowhere near being a top 10 team. And at the end of the year, I would be surprised if they're not even the top 25.
Very quickly.
Real quick sign up. Tonight, they play at Purdue, so just keep drawing that ball game.
Yeah, and I will keep an eye on it because Penn State has Purdue on Sunday out there, so I will definitely keep an eye on it. Bill O'Brien made his decision late last week and had his press conference yesterday. Your thoughts on what he accomplished at Penn State in year one and the decision to come back?
I think it was remarkable. We came through State College on that bus tour in August and talked to the coaches, the players, and watched practice. And you could see some good players there, some good talent, but there weren't many bodies. They were already worried about how they were going to practice even in August, had to avoid injuries, had to be smart about it. So, and no, nobody saw 8-4, 6-2 in the Big Ten. Nobody did. And you know what? After starting 0-2, I thought, wow, this team's going to be lucky to win 3 or 4 games. So, again, to go 0-2 and what, 8-2 down the stretch is incredible. So I think it's a great staff. You know, you talk about Larry Johnson, Vanderlyn, and Ted Roof. John Butler, that secondary coach, is a smart guy. Mac McCorder running the line. I mean, on and on I can go. That helps O'Brien as well. So, again, it would have been a crushing blow had he left. It's kind of good. I was glad to see him stay. How realistic was it for him to really have left? I think that's up for debate. Some people will say it never was going to happen because of the buyout, but who knows? We'll probably never know for sure. We do know he's going to stay there, which is great for Penn State. There's a lot more heavy lifting to come. But I think O'Brien at least gives him a chance for maybe the next 4 or 5 years not to be as awful as it could be.
Out of the bowl games, Big Ten goes 2-5, but certainly was highly competitive in every single one. Did you see a different and better Big Ten in bowl play compared to the Big Ten that you saw in non-conference play in September?
I think so. You know, the non-conference was an embarrassment, honestly. The best win was Michigan State beating Boise State back on like August 31st, I think, on a Friday night.
It was, yeah.
Otherwise, the Big Ten failed miserably in every other game. They did hold their own or acquit themselves a little bit better against better teams, I might add, too. They really didn't play anybody the caliber of Georgia or South Carolina in the non-conference when you get right down to it. So, again, the facts are facts. They went 2-5, 1-4 on New Year's Day. And at this point, the Big Ten needs some tangible results. You know, being close isn't good enough, I don't think, at this point. So, again, it's better than getting annihilated like we saw happen to some Big Ten teams recently, if you remember that Michigan State-Alabama Capital One Bowl a couple years ago. So, again, they avoided embarrassment except for, of course, this Purdue's annihilation to Oklahoma State.
Tom, it's always a pleasure. I can't wait to run into you on the trail and also get you back on the show again soon.
Joy, take care. Thanks for having me.
Tom Dienhart, Big Ten Network, BTN.com. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Welcome back. Thanks to Tom Dienhart for joining us today from BTN. Knocked it around about the Big Ten, about football, basketball. Tomorrow we're going to have Tony Knopp on the show and the ending of the NHL lockout, and also John Marks from 97.5 in Philadelphia about the Eagles and what they're doing with their search. Neil Riddell, Altoona Mirror, coming up on Thursday. Adam Amin from ESPN on Thursday as well, talking about the NFL. Guy Cipriano, Center Daily Times, Friday. Greg Cosell, NFL Films on Friday. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report on Friday. Excuse me. But that's the lineup that we have. That's what you're stuck with. And Kevin quit.
No, I'm just searching the coaching rumors. You know how much I enjoy that.
Oh, my goodness.
Latest rumor is
you like to play.
Latest rumor.
Play games with lives.
Eagles.
Lovie Smith's going to interview with the Eagles.
Well, yeah, you stop taking away all my fun.
What? Everybody knows it.
You took away all my fun.
Sorry.
You just suck the fun right out of that. You know what?
No, I'd like to take it right out of the room.
But you succeeded. Nick Saban isn't gonna look at an NFL job.
I would hope not.
Was it 5-point-something million, and then he got another, $200,000 bonus for winning the national championship last night? It ends up being over $300,000 as the bonus.
The bonuses are standard.
But at $5 million, $300,000 sounds like you're getting about $5.
It's one game. Okay.
Just doesn't sound like a really good deal to me. Hey, you won the national championship. You're getting paid $5 million. Here's another, $100,000 for doing it.
It's one game. Okay? It's a bonus. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't see any reason, whatever. I mean, it's standard. I mean, everybody has that in their contract.
No, I know. I was just making the comment that at a $5 million salary, that just seemed like a very small bonus proportionally.
Imagine being a fan in Washington right now. Okay? You've had no hockey, so no Alex Ovechkin. You essentially don't have an NBA team, even though, ironically, the Wizards have beaten both the Heat and the Thunder this year. They just can't beat anybody else. You shut down Steven Strasburg when you have a chance to make a real run in the playoffs, and then RG3 gets hurt. Wow. Also, ESPN commentator Rob Parker said that his contract expired on December 31st, and they said, you are not being renewed. He made, of course, several odd comments about Robert Griffin III. I feel no need to go into what his comments were. I found them to be appalling.
No, I remember those. You're right.
There's no need to go into it. I don't want to. No need to get into it. All right, Brent Musburger and what he said about Kate Beckinsale or whatever heck her name is.
Catherine Webb. And you do have to get into that because that's really good.
We'll hear from exactly what he said last night. and Kirk Herbstreit trying to verbally get himself to the exit. In the next hour of the show, Kevin on coaching rumors. Who's going to be coaching in the United States Basketball League?